welcome. This is just our first service. But, you know, before we get into the message, and it's going to be a powerful series, I want to encourage you not to miss it, not to, I think we're going to do 3 or 4 Sundays on the power of speaking in tongues. Say with me, speaking in tongues. Imagine, please understand that the Bible doesn't say praying in tongues. It says speaking in tongues. Everywhere you read, it says praying in the Holy Ghost. I understand that's another place. But when it comes to tongues, it says speaking in tongues. Because when we speak in tongues, we don't get into, if we say we're praying in tongues, there's no connection with us and God. But when we say speaking in tongues, you speak to God in tongues. You speak to Him in a heavenly language. It's a language. It's not little words. Are you guys with me? It's a language. It's some people pray in tongues and they go, ba, 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 ba. No, that's not tongues. Okay? We'll rebaptize you in the Holy Spirit during this series. A language has to develop. If English has nouns and verbs and all these tenses, don't you think tongues has? I just want to throw it out at you. It's a language. Speaking in tongues. So as you speak in tongues in your room and you're speaking to God, because remember, and we'll get into this verse, it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, for no one understands him, but he speaks to God. And in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Which means when you speak in tongues, the Bible says you're directly communicating with God. Now I can say, when you speak in English, do you then directly communicate with God? I don't know. Are you guys with me? Speaking in tongues is the language of heaven. La roske brena muske te endaya. Lebrosko levradoske nema. Hava andere brioske te kenema. Breske androduske te. It's a language that is being developed. I always tell people, when you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, begin to develop. If you just have one word, carry on and begin to create a language. It's led by the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? It's not the Holy Spirit making the words coming out of you. The Holy Spirit gives you the utterance and you must verbalize it. Vocalize it. Are you guys with me? The Holy Spirit gives us the utterance and we must vocalize it. So I hope and trust that this series is going to get very good through to you. Although I didn't spend 1 minute in preparation because we were working hard. But I have a lot in my spirit when it comes to this. I can promise you now. So as I'll be ministering, the word will just come out. And we're going to give you points that revelation, that tongues does. And if you're not familiar with it, just stay for the series. Because you will see, we will touch on every part. Some people might say, but wait, tongues needs to be interpreted. There is a place for that, and there's a certain type of tongues that must be interpreted. Not all tongues. You get different kinds of tongues. Are you guys with me? You get tongues that you speak, and people hear you in their language, their common language. You can speak, and if somebody is Chinese, they can hear you in their language. That's the one ability of tongues. That is what fell at the day of Pentecost. Are you guys with me? Then the second ability of tongues is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is if somebody stands up here and prays in tongues out of the congregation or so, and let's say they come up, they say they have a word for the congregation, they come up, they pray in tongues, and they go and sit down. That, the scripture says, is not right. That needs to be interpreted. Then interpretation of tongues, simply said, is prophecy. Are you guys with me? It's God speaking. Then you have the third type of tongues. That is the personal language that every single one of us as a believer has been given when we were baptized with the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you get a language, tongues, to go into your room, to speak, to connect with God. And it is there where the Bible says that you're building yourself, your own spirit up. Are you guys with me? And we'll get into that just now. But listen, I want to feel, let me carry on with the message. We'll take up the offering afterwards. Let me carry on with the message. Listen, because we're in a flow with this. There was a, I just want to tell you a story, and I want to connect it to tongues again. And I hope, can you guys hear me? Because I don't see the your faces hearing me too well. Okay. And I want to encourage you, come tonight. It is going to be powerful. I had people sending me emails and messages and comments. How can I believe in God? And this is Christians. I go on their pages, and it's Christians in churches that we know. How dare we speak on hell? Listen, Jesus spoke on hell more than heaven. So it's going to be a very good service, really, really good, and you will see that. But, you know, there was, I think it was World War One, where the Americans, the U.S. and China was at war. And I might be wrong with a little bit of details if you're a historian, but just catch the story. And everywhere the U.S. would try to take over China, and in the basis when China would come over to the U.S. and there was war, every time the U.S. had what they call code breakers. It's people who would create a certain code in them, be able to communicate over the airwaves and the radio lines. And if the enemy hears and taps in on it, they cannot hear it because these guys are speaking in a different code. Are you guys with me? Then what the enemy began to do, China, is they began to send in people acting as if they were part of the U.S. and they were being trained up by them. And then when they spoke in this code, these guys from China would actually go and report back to China, and they would break the code like that. And every time they defeated the U.S. in those certain areas, until there was a certain people that from, I believe it was from one of the native side of America, which got trained up, and there was originally only 25 of them. They had a certain native language that they began to manipulate a little bit, and the dialect was not a normal English communicative dialect. It was the way they spoke was what they would call wind talkers. They would speak into the wind. Are you guys with me? A normal language, but they would speak it into the wind. And the way their dialect was and the words would come out, only somebody on the other side that was trained in that language could understand what they were saying. And they had something, I think 211 words for whether it was a tank, a gun, whether it was troops, whatever it might be, and they had a word, and these people were called the Navajo people, the Navajo. And the Navajo they called them eventually wind talkers, because their language was secret. Nobody could tap into it. Nobody could discover it. Nobody could, when it was communicated, so they began to train them up in the army, and then they would be code breakers, and they would speak that code to others on the other side of the world or wherever they were in war. And then that, with that code, the enemy couldn't tap in, couldn't understand it. And it was because of those 25 Navajo individuals that the U.S. won the war at that specific place. So because of a people that had a secret language. The Navajo. Are you guys with me? Say with me, wind talkers. When I listened to that, I was thinking of praying in the spirit. The Bible says it is when you speak in tongues, in the spirit, you speak mysteries, secrets, where no one understands you. Are you guys with me? When the Bible says, for no one understands him, it even includes the devil. Are you guys with me? I want you to remember this, that Daniel, when Daniel prayed and the angel Gabriel was sent to him with a message, the Bible says that it took Daniel 21 days before the angel could get to him. And the angel said to him, listen, I was intervened by the prince of Persia, intercepted by the prince of Persia. And because of that, it took me 21 days to get there. Michael the archangel had to come and help me out. And then I could get to you. Why? Daniel was praying in his known language. Are you guys with me? Let's, for example, say it's English. To use as an example. He was praying in English. The devil could hear him and understand. And say, but wait, I'm going to send the prince of Persia to intercept this prayer. Are you guys with me? Okay. Don't be distracted by the cameras, please. Daniel's angel was intercepted, because when Daniel was praying, he was praying in his known language, whether it be English, Aramaic, whatever it might be, Hebrew. He was praying in that, and the enemy could hear him. But when we pray in the Spirit, put for me on 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue," another translation will tell you, "in an unknown tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one," say with me, "no one understands him but God." Listen, that includes the devil. "However, in the Spirit, he's speaking forth mysteries," mysteron, which means secrets, an esoteric realm, a place that only God has prepared for a certain few, those who speak in the Holy Ghost, those who pray in the Spirit. When you speak in the Spirit, your spirit connects with your mind and revelation begins to come forth. Are you guys with me? When you pray in tongues, people who don't pray in tongues are missing so much on life. And I'll explain to you just now why. You know, so we had these wind talkers, and because the Navajo people, and because they had a secret language, they were able to win the war. Now we get to in Genesis. Put on for me Genesis chapter number 11, verse 1. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." Say with me, "one language." Next verse. "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwell there." Next verse, let's go on. "Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt slime for mortar." Next verse. "And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Are you guys with me? Let me just tell you one thing. These people were one language. And then they said something here. They said, "lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth." They knew that God would scatter them abroad before it even happened. Are you guys with me? One language. They were so in communication, such in unity. Listen, the Bible says, where your brother dwells in unity, where the brethren dwells in unity, there I command my blessings. The oil will flow from the head onto the beard of Aaron, onto the shoulders, onto the garments, speaking of the anointing. Because they were one language, they had the ability to kind of like know what's going to happen in the future. Anyway, next verse. "But the Lord came down to the city, to see the city, and the tower which the sons of men had built." You know, if I have to tell you, I think people will a little bit not understand if we say the Lord came down. It does not mean he came down in a cloud. It does not mean he came down in a visitation. You'll see God visiting even Abraham in the form of a human. Okay, next verse. "And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one." Say with me, "one." "And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose," and in the King James it says, "nothing that they would imagine would be withheld or restrained from them." And you know, we've preached on this before. Why? Because of one language. Are you guys with me? Everything they would speak, every word would be in unity. They can agree together. Everything is in unity. Listen, a language can break a nation or build a nation. When a nation was taken over, if we speak of, colonized, when a nation is colonized, you will usually see they bring in another language. Are you guys with me? If one nation colonizes another nation, the first thing they do, they bring in textbooks. They begin to change the language and bring their language into the nation. Because a language has the ability to change or destroy a nation, a people. And they know that, but wait, for us to change a people in this nation, whether it be South Africa, Africa, Native American, wherever it might be, we have to bring in a language. A language can build and create a people, or a language can break down a nation. Are you guys with me? Because when you bring in a language, you can change the culture. You can change the DNA, the way people think, the way words are pronounced, the way they speak. You can change everything. So God said, listen, no. These guys have one language. And if they, anything they imagine, put me on the King James Version on this verse, please. Anything they imagine, it says, now nothing will be restrained, withheld from them, which they have imagined to do. Imagine you have one language, and anything you put your mind to, God is saying, I will accomplish, you will be able to accomplish it. You're lying in bed at night. Anything, they might have imagined a huge skyscraper going up into the heavens. And God said, this will be impossible because of one language. Are you guys with me? If you lie in your car and you're thinking huge house, big cars, a lot of money, businesses, whatever it might be, God is saying, because of one language, this is possible. I don't know if you're going to get to understand what I'm coming to. Are you guys with me? Because of one language, what you imagine can come to pass. So let's go to the next verse. Let's see if there's something else. Go to, let us go down, and they confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So listen, if we fast forward from there, go with me to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. And we see that the language was scattered. They couldn't do what they were supposed to do there. And then it says in Acts chapter number 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost. This is for those who are saved. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. In one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. I want to read this out of the Amplified. Put it in the Amplified, please. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Next verse. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire. Say with me, tongues, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each and every single one of them. But listen, it says tongues as of fire. A person who speaks in an unknown tongue shouldn't be speaking like this. There's no fire there. When you speak in tongues, as of fire, la brusca and brasco you speak with a passion and a fire. Are you guys with me? This time, and I'll get into the things now. I don't want to overstep myself. It has the ability to protect you. When anybody comes to you with a gun or a knife in your house or whatever it might be, all you do, you just start opening your mouth and praying in tongues. The Bible says there's tongues of men and tongues of angels. When you pray in other tongues, the angels understand and begins to move on your behalf. Are you guys with me? Listen. In Acts 2, so settled on each one. There's the next verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began. Say with me, began. When you're filled, you must begin to speak. If you don't begin to speak in other tongues, you are not filled. Are you guys with me? With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud. Say with me, loud. Expression. Loud, not soft expression. And the day of Pentecost, a violent wind came, tongues as a fire sat upon each of them, and the Holy Ghost gave them a loud expression, and they all began to pray in other tongues, so much so that all the others on the outside began to think they were drunk with some sort of wine. Are you guys with me? And they received one language again, that in the same manner and principle and law, where God said in the book of Genesis to the Tower of Babel, these people have one language. Whatever they imagine will not be withheld from them. Now, thousands of years later, we find again one language, a heavenly language coming upon the people of God. All we need to tap in is understand, but wait, one language means that if we put our mind to it, nothing will be impossible. When you pray in other tongues, La Russia, listen, have your seat. When we get together here on a Saturday and we are praying in the Spirit, or we're praying in the morning, everybody's praying in the Spirit, and we're sitting around here, and we Laruske Drebenamash, before the services, Maria and them are leading it, Labruske Andele Delebena Marabuske, and everybody is praying it. The reason we're doing it, the way you take over a city, is by praying in the Spirit. Are you guys with me? Praying in the Spirit sets you apart. It causes you to speak a secret language to the heavens, which cannot be intercepted by the enemy. So now we're praying for, and every month we have topics. Now we're praying for someone's finances, or we're praying for this, or we're praying for that. And then we go into the Spirit and we begin to La Ruske Rebendama. Now the devil doesn't know what is happening, because the Bible says the Holy Ghost in you and through you is beginning to pray the perfect will of God. So he might be praying for a family member that is just about to be in a car accident or have a financial problem, and the devil doesn't know what is happening because it's not his language. And if you want to change a culture, you change a language. God knew, listen, Acts chapter number 2, if I want to change the culture of my people, bring in a kingdom, I have to begin to give them another language, another dialect, wind talkers that can have victory. Are you guys with me? Even if it was just 25, the U.S. had victory. Are you guys with me? You feel like, I don't know. This is like the most exciting stuff for me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Listen, let me share something with you. And like I said, I haven't wrote one thing down. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit lead. What does this say? Let me just see. Barroso. And our endeavor and our goal is on Sunday mornings, like I said, to teach you. But God spoke to me very clearly about teaching you with revelation. That, you know, anybody can do a 5-point sermon. And we'll do notes like last time we did notes. The notes will just be informative for you. But we want to give you revelation. Revelation moves a person's spirit. Where revelation is, there is life. Are you guys with me? Where there's not revelation, there's death. God is not there. His voice is not there. And he cannot not be where his voice is, which means if a place has revelation, it's the spoken word of God. It's his voice. One word coming up that proceeds out of the word, out of the mouth of God. The Bible says that I'll rather live on one word that is proceeds out of the mouth of God than bread. So, 1 Corinthians, where were we, 2 or 14? 2. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Let's see what it says. Let's just read. I want to explain to you. Listen, this whole chapter is connected with tongues. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, but of wisdom, or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Next verse. I was in you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Just flow with me. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Say with me, spirit and power. He said it was first a demonstration of spirit, meaning there was first an activation of praying in other tongues. Then the power follows. Speaking in tongues is the gateway to the power of God. I'm going to say it again. Speaking in tongues is the gateway to power. Next verse. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God, wisdom of men, but the power of God. However, we speak. Say with me, speak. Wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say with him, mystery. He's saying, listen, we're speaking the wisdom in a mystery. The Bible says, when I speak in tongues, I do not speak to man as no one understands, but I'm speaking to God. For in the Spirit, I am speaking forth mysteries. Are you guys with me? And he's saying, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Paul is saying, listen here, the wisdom was spoken in tongues. Ah, you guys are not getting me. Listen, go to the next verse. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, listen here, we belong to a different people, a different species that taps into an esoteric realm of knowledge and wisdom and the mystery of God. That when we pray in other tongues, our spirits is filled with revelation. That if the rulers of this age knew this mystery, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory, because they knew, they would have known, as soon as Christ was crucified, the Holy Ghost would have been poured out and everybody would have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? Listen, have you seen? I want you to understand the importance of praying in other tongues. Because if you can catch this today, you will not stop praying in tongues. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Next verse. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. He said, haven't even dreamt yet, which God has prepared for those who love him. Next verse. Now listen. But God has revealed, say with me, revealed. Revelation, apocalypse. He has given you these things through revelation. To us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God who is from him. Watch this. Read this with me. Say that we might know the things. What things? Listen. What things? Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. That has not entered into the heart of man. Which you can't even imagine. The mysteries of God. These things that has been freely. Say with me, freely. Given to us by God. Who is the us? It is us who is a chosen generation. And who is a special people, given special knowledge because of the ability to pray in other tongues. There's a big difference between a Christian that can pray in other tongues or a Christian that doesn't pray in other tongues. They are not the chosen. Now everybody can pray in tongues. Are you guys with me? When they get baptized, then you become the chosen, the royal priesthood. You're tapped into a realm where now you can discuss and hear the mysteries of God. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Let's see what is next. I don't know. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Are you guys getting me? Now with tongues. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Next verse. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Say with me, speaking in tongues. Let's carry on reading. Let's go to the next verse. I'm just checking what is next. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now please understand, this is all in context of tongues. Are you guys with me? Tongues isn't mentioned here. No. The mystery is mentioned here. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking this in the spirit, the mysteries of God. Have the mind of Christ. Next verse. For, and brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Next verse. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. Listen. Tongues is just the beginning part. In fact, he was speaking to the Corinthians because they had a lot of the gifts already operating. They also had tongues already. Are you guys with me? But he says, but you are still babes. Tongues does not make a person mature. I've seen people praying tongues for 20 years and they're not mature. Then I've seen a believer saved for 1 year and they might be more mature than that person that has been praying for 20 years. So tongues does not make you mature. Some people think it does. It's in no way does it. Listen, go with me to, I want to leave you with a few points on what does tongues do. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. And I don't want to be long because I want to pray for those, especially when it comes to an offering like we do usually once every 2 months. So this is just an introduction and a start to the tongues. And I'll show you a bit later on how when Paul prayed, he said, I thank my God that I pray in other tongues more than you all. And we see he was a man that was taken up into heaven, having so much revelations, an abundance of revelations, and how those two things are connected, praying in the Spirit and doing and receiving that. Are you guys with me? When you pray in the Spirit, you're activating and charging up a battery inside of you. I'll get to it now. And it literally connects your spirit to your mind. The problem with believers is their minds, when they speak forth from their minds and not their spirit. Are you guys with me? Okay. The Bible says there's a holy anointing inside every person. For you do not need anybody to teach you, the scripture says. Because the Holy Spirit, the anointing in you will teach it. It doesn't mean that we don't have teachers. No. John was speaking in that time when there was a lot of false teachers and there was no true teaching. So he says, listen here, you have the anointing in you. You can discern what is right or wrong. Are you guys with me? But every person has an anointing in them. The problem is the connection from that, the spirit, to the mind. When you pray in tongues, it creates that connection because it's now your spirit beginning to pray through you. Are you guys with me? Look at every minister that moves in power, whether they're great generals on TV or where maybe they're not on TV, but those who move in power, every single one of them will tell you they're an encounter with God, number one. And number two, their spirit was praying, and some of them would pray 3 or 4 hours at a time. Whether it was when they were younger in history, doesn't matter. Are you guys with me? But they were praying in other tongues. And look at any man that's moved in the supernatural, that God moves and is used by God to move in the supernatural. Tongues is involved. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Let's read here. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now listen, let's just stop here. Let's go back. I want you to get the richness out of every verse we're going through. Pursue love and desire. Say with me, desire. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. A lot of times we think Laying hands, it is, it does. The gift is imparted by the laying on of hands. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift that is given to you by the laying on of hands. Meaning, Timothy, when I laid hands on you, I gave you a spiritual gift. But that gift is lying dormant. Now I want you to begin to stir up that gift. Are you guys with me? Many people can stand here in front and we can lay hands off the SOD and SM and we'll do it. I think it's next week, Tuesday, and we impart. I'll impart to them. That gift can be there. It does not mean it's going to be used. The way it is being stirred up is by praying in other tongues. Are you guys with me? Stirring up the gift. You do that for a few minutes. You'll feel, but wait, I feel the anointing. I feel my spirit is activated. Now the gift will work. People get laid hands upon laid hands upon laid hands, but they don't apply that, and that's why there's no gift. Pursue love and desire, say with me, desire to get spiritual gifts. You don't have to be qualified. You don't have to look beautiful or not beautiful. You don't have to be eloquently spoken. Like Paul is saying, I do not come with you with eloquence of speech, but or persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Are you guys with me? You don't have to have all those things. You just have to have one thing, a passion and a desire. When you are a parent and you give your children gifts, you give them something of what they want, what they desire. How much more our Heavenly Father? If you say, God, I want the gift of healing. And sometimes we can preach, no, it's elected before birth. Yes, that's the office, not the gifts. The gifts are given by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we get baptized, it comes through the gateway of tongues. And then after that, through desire. Anybody who desires any gift, God can give it to them as He wills. But it comes by desire. Are you guys with me? That desire means an earnest desire on the inside of you. Love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Next verse. Especially that you may prophesy. That means that everybody can prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, you know this verse, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he's speaking forth the mysteries of God. Next verse. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. What he's saying, listen, if I'm standing in front of you and I'm prophesying, speaking edification, exhortation, or comfort. If I speak in other tongues, it's not really going to benefit you much. Let's verse on. Doesn't mean it's not allowed. Oh no, we can all pray in tongues here. But he says, so when you prophesy, the church is edified. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies. Say with me, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now we take the scripture and say, you mustn't pray in tongues. Hey. You know, I almost want to say I'm more interested in myself than the church. Because if myself does well, the church will do well. If you do well, your e-group will do well. When you speak in other tongues, you edify. The Greek word for edify is oikodomio. Something like that, oikodomio. Which means to embolden. To have such boldness that comes upon you suddenly, number one. And number two, it means to be like an edifice. An edifice is a strong, mature, high building. Are you guys with me? Number three, it means to charge yourself up like a battery. So this is what the word means when we pray in other tongues, when we edify ourselves. Number one, you have such boldness that comes on you. That before you go and minister on e-group or you preach or you go out in ministry, you take 2 hours. La roska adre bene mana mashe ketaya lebroska teke lebene mana ma zeda askuta ende lebene mara buseke lebroska adle de lebene mara buseke, and you do that for an hour, 2 hours. You will have such boldness on you. You'll be able to stand in front of people and say, I see a person here with this name that's doing this. Whether you have boldness. Which gives you faith. Tongues will give you faith. Go with me to Jude 20. Jude 20. Okay, let me make it easier. Jude 1 verse 20, guys. There's only one chapter. But you, beloved, say with me, building. Say it again. Say, hey, some of you need to pray in tongues. I can see you're not edified. Okay. Say with me, building. When I pray in tongues, I am like an architect. You know, the Bible says when Paul had revelation, it speaks of that he was a divine architect of the revelation of God. Paul was getting revelation so much that he was used like an architect putting it together. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Are you guys with me? So he says, building yourselves up. How? On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? So he's saying, listen, when you're praying, number one, you'll get faith. So much faith that you'll now be able to say, I see this and that person or that, or I can pray for this demon to be cast out, or this, pray for this healing here. Faith is being stirred up. Number two, you are edifying yourself. You're being built up like a building. In fact, the one meaning is edifies. It speaks of a large, tall, strong structure. Now you being a Christian that is being a massive, strong structure. You're not moved by any wind of doctrine. You're not moved from this church to that church to here to there. You're solid and strong. Are you guys with me? It means to, the word edify means to, so go back to verse 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. It means to embolden you. It gives you boldness. Number two, it means to edify, to be an edifice, a strong building. Number three, it charges you up like a battery. Are you guys with me? When the Bible says that when Jesus was walking through the crowds and a lady with an issue of blood was pressing in behind him to touch the hem of his garment, the one translation that brings it out powerfully says that power was emanating and moving around him. Are you guys with me? When Peter was walking, the Bible says even if his shadow, the people would just put people on the floor, that perhaps his shadow would fall on them and they would be healed or delivered. He had an energy field around him called the energeo of God. It is the inner, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build up your inner jail. Are you guys with me? The scripture, and we're not going to get into it now, it says dunamis, the power of God. Kratos, the power of God. Iskos, the power of God. All of that works through inner jail. Just ignore the people, they're just working with a second service. Energy, it can only, the dunamis power can only come out of you via energy of heaven, energeo. That energeo comes by stirring ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? You begin to charge yourself. When the Bible says the lady touched the hem of his garment, that immediately Jesus felt power and virtue leaving his body. He was fully charged and somebody pulled it out of him. Are you guys with me? So when you pray in tongues and when we pray in other tongues, we are building and we're looking at how we're going to increase prayer meetings, and we're going to go, because we've made it much better, and we're going to go once a month, like on a Friday night again or something, where we go long till late. You build up yourself. When I got saved, we were in prayer meetings. We will pray from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. I don't think anybody here has done, maybe unless you come from those days. We pray from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Not let Lord Jesus help me, and like in some churches, the people just soaking, you know. They're sleeping, but they say they're soaking. Praying. 2 hours. You're lying on your face. You walk out of that place so charged with power. You know there's not a devil that can touch you. It is time to begin to speak in other tongues again. Let's all stand to our feet and close off. Unfortunately, we have a second service. Just raise our hands wherever you are. Father, may you bless these people. May your anointing be upon them. May you bring them back safely tonight. May there be an incredible encounter tonight in this place with the power and the presence of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.